Thank you, and it's an honor for me to stand before you again today and handle the Word of God. We appreciate each one of you that's tuned this way, and we're taking our thought out of the 101st Psalm, Psalms 101. We've been here, I think, maybe four or five previous devotions, and we'll give you about 15 minutes of devotion today and try to close out the thought. There's so much more in this chapter that we could bring, but the thought and the burden of our heart when we started the devotional series was what the psalmist said. He is talking about within his heart in Psalms 101, verse number 2. David said, within my house I have a perfect heart. And he said in verse number 7, that within my house. And he made three references to his heart in this psalm: the perfect heart, the froward heart, and the proud heart. And here's my thought that we've been trying to expound upon for the last few devotions. Is your heart in your house? I believe with all of my heart that is the greatest need of our churches and the greatest need of our nation and the greatest need of every family is to get your heart involved. And so with that in mind, I asked God to help me with the devotion, and I've studied it verse by verse, these eight verses in the 101st Psalm. And of course, eight in the Bible numerically is the number of new beginnings. The eighth day starts a new week. Number eight on the piano starts a new octave from what I understand, and I'm not the greatest informed on the musical ability and the piano or the whatever, the scales, but I know eight in the Bible is the number of new beginnings. And if you'd like to have a new start, a new family, a new home, look at the 101st Psalm with me. We divided it this way. We went down through it worshiping and wisdom and walking and watching and our words and the witness. All of that is involved in these eight verses. But we divided the chapter into three portions, and we looked at it this way: the importance of the home or the house. And I've said it often and through the series that the house is the home, Joshua's house and Noah's house and Timothy's house. And it's the house that David's talking about here, his home. And it's so important. And to have a home that's a Christ-like place, a little bit of heaven on earth, we said you had to have a wise man. Matthew 7:24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. And so we need a wise man, a wise dad. And then the wise woman, she buildeth her house. She doesn't pluck it or tear it down with her hands, but she built it. So we need some wise women. And he said, be a wise child, be a wise son and a wise daughter. Give me your heart. Mom, give the Lord your heart for the house, and Dad, you, and the children likewise. So that's how important it is. And then the Bible talked about in this chapter that the impoverishment, the weakness, and the immaturity, and it just wasn't producing the way God intended for it to do and to be producing a Christ-like producing elements in our home that would produce the right kind of fruit. And I use the soil. If the soil's not right, then the vegetation, the plants, and the fruit that comes from there will not be right. It'll be of a poor quality. And that's what the impoverishment of the house was. And we've covered those. We don't have time to go back over them. But I want to look today very briefly on the improvement of the home. Every one of us ought to want our homes to be better. I want my life to be better. I want my family to be better. I want our home to be more Christ-like. And there are ingredients in the Word of God and in this chapter that'll improve our home and our relationship. And I want to look at about three things, and we'll be through today. But let me give you this as my thought. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. That's Matthew 12:25b. Every house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, whatever your role is, your position in the home, whether it be dad the head, mom the heart, or the children the hub, you're going to have to be in agreement. There cannot be division and have a Christ-like home. David prayed in my text in verse 2, oh, when wilt thou come unto me? And I would say this, if we could get two of you to agree, Matthew 18:19, two of you to agree as touching anything, touch heaven for your home, you'd see your home improve. But there's going to have to be that agreement. You can pray, but the Bible talks about in 1 Peter 3:7 that you being heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. And so the weakness in our prayer life, there's a great possibility that it's because of division in the home or in the family. So here's what I want to look at, three things quickly as we close out Psalms 101, the importance of the home, the impoverishment of the home, but today, the improvement of the home. I don't want my home to become desolated or become to desolation. And the way I'm going to prevent that is for prayer and Bible and these things in Psalms 101. The Bible and the reading of it, have you heard lately about a family Bible? I have personal Bibles. I've got a study full of them, King James Bibles. My wife has her Bible. The children have their Bibles. But what about the family Bible, where you gather together? And we know that our lives are busier and probably fuller than they've ever been, running to and fro. And I'm afraid some homes are about like a depot. They just run in, catch another trip out, and in and out like that. But we need to take time to be holy, take time for our family. It's more important than a lot of things going on in this earth today that families and our homes are involved in. So remember the family altar. Remember the family Bible. Get your Bible, and you dads and mom, our family Bible and family altar didn't have to be like yours or yours like mine. I don't think there's a pattern or a blueprint. Sometimes I would read the scripture. Sometimes we'd have mom to read the scripture. Often we'd have the children or all of us would read the scripture at the same time in our family altar. But get the family Bible back out. And then not only the family Bible, but family altar. Learn to pray together. Mom and dad praying together, agreeing. You get in agreement praying together. If two of you, he said in Matthew 18:19, and if you get a family of two or three or four, I'm telling you, we ought to be able to pray the power of God. We ought to be able to pray and see revival fires burn again. We ought to be able to pray and see the power of God fall and sinners get under conviction and our loved ones get saved by the grace of God. I'm afraid the weakness in the church is because of the weakness in the family. And the weakness in the family is because we're negligent toward the family Bible and towards the family altar. So let your children hear the reading of the Word of God. I'm telling you, there's one thing that blesses my heart. Sometimes when we're traveling, we'll just have mom to read the Bible. If I'm not careful, I'll run out of the road and run up a tree somewhere. I just love to hear her read the Word of God. The reading of the Word of God audibly, where they can hear it, will make a difference in your children, and they'll remember the longest day that they ever live. And then that subject of family altar, praying, hearing their name called in prayer. I have great grandchildren. They don't understand. We teach them to thank you, Jesus, for my food, and now I lay me down to sleep, and their moms and dads are very definitely doing that, and I thank God for it. And they may not understand a lot of it, but I'm telling you, when they start to get a hold of it, and they start to find out who Jesus is, and you get them obedient to you and listening to you, they'll probably be obedient to the Lord and listen to Him when He speaks to them. I've got grandchildren. One of them, Natalie, I heard her say the other day that she gave her heart to Jesus the first time that He spoke to her. No, I didn't do that. The Lord spoke to me as a 9-year-old young man in the mountains of West Virginia. He spoke to me as an 18-year-old young man and a young adult man in Florida, and I didn't yield to Him. And then He spoke to me the third time when I was 25 years old back home in the mountains of West Virginia. And God saved me that night. I obeyed Him. I yielded to Him. I listened to Him and got saved by the grace of God. I would to the Lord that I had been saved when I was 9. Sure would have changed a lot of things, but I'm glad He got me when I was 25 years old. And I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. So my thought is this, the improvement of the home. Wouldn't you like to have a better home? Why don't you give Jesus a chance to put the pieces together? Dad, Mom, the children, your intentions, the goals and the aims and the things that you're planning on, let Jesus be the center of it. Let your children hear you read the Word. Let them hear their name called in prayer. And lastly, today, not only the family Bible and the family altar, but a family serving God together. And you find that throughout the Scripture. A Christian home produces Christian fruit through the children that will be serving God on generations to come. And I want to leave that legacy behind that my children can walk in my footsteps. And likewise, my wife, to leave that the children can walk in our footsteps. So we see families serving God. Joshua, he said, as for me and my house, me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Noah's boys and the boys' wives and Noah's wife as well, they followed and got on the ark. And the flood came and took everything else away. Things that probably were important to many that didn't seem very important when the end came. So I would encourage you, train up your children to serve the Lord. They all have talents. They all have abilities, but they need to be developed. And my son has worked with children and young people his entire life, and especially his ministry in the Christian school and pastoring the church and what have you. And he's a music fella. Everybody ought to be able to play 2 or 3 instruments, he thinks. And that's how he taught his children. And that's how he teaches the young people at church. So teach your children to do something for Jesus. All of us don't have the same talent. All of us will never have the same abilities. It's like our body. Paul tried to get the church at Corinth to get a hold of that and understand that we all have different abilities and talents, and God gives you those. I know He does when He saves you. They may be already in there, and when He saves you, they just begin to come out. He begins to bring them out and reveal them to you. But some of you have talents that you could be serving God. You young people, dedicate your life to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what would Thou have me to do? You might be afraid to ask Him that question, but you do have an ability. Some people are five talented. Some people may have three. Some may have one. But you do have something you can do for Jesus. There couldn't be a greater thing than your family serving God. And we'll all not be able to sing like some families. All the family children play an instrument. All of us are not going to be able to do that. But we can all serve the Lord. So let me encourage you, not only in the family Bible and the family altar, but the family serving God. Dedicate your family to the Lord. You young couples, God gives you a child. Dedicate that child to the Lord. And really, a child dedication is the parents dedicating themselves that we're going to raise our family for the Lord. You'll never regret it. You'll rejoice in days to come, like the woman in Proverbs 31. The children will rise up and call her blessed, and she'll rejoice in the days that are ahead of her in her older age and seeing the children serving God. So why don't you do that? Here's my thought. Get your heart in your home, and you'll be thankful the rest of your life. Father, I love You. Thank You for Your precious, infallible Word, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love it. And I pray the message would fall upon fertile ground, and Lord, there would be some moms and dads and children, some entire families commit themselves to serving God. We'll thank You. Anything that's accomplished, may Your name be magnified and praised. And we'll love You in Jesus' name. Amen.